Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeFay, and today's date is January the 13th in the year 2021. And we are very, very blessed to be broadcasting over the World Wide Web over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar design, installation, and workforce development companies to address the economic of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects and initiatives to bring down the unemployment and underemployment of young African-American men locally and nationally. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you've been joining us on a regular basis, that this show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that about that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positive, positivechange, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com, positivechangepc.com. Please, ladies and gentlemen, when you're at the top of our webpage, all you have to do is move your eyes from your left to right, and you will see the GoFundMe link, and there is information about that initiative, which brings you this program every week over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any scheduled guests today for the show, but we have, as we normally do, look at some pocketbook issues and how they will affect you. And we're going to be bringing that information to you here on this platform and with Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we're going to start our show off this morning, ladies and gentlemen, by giving you an opportunity to call in this first segment. But first, we want to talk to you about the solar tax credit has been extended and what that means for you. And you'll be able to get more details, once again, by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. You can click on our news and events tab and scroll down, and you'll see solar investment tax credit extended. What does that mean for you? And this particular article is authored by Ben Delman, and it was published on January 5th, 2021, put out by the Solar United Neighbors Organization, which is headed by Mrs. Anna Schulman, and her organization was started here right in the District of Columbia, and they have been working and very, very, very to advocate and drive public policy as it relates to low and moderate income educational programs in low-income communities across this nation. Last year ended with a great news for solar. The federal government provides a tax credit for homeowners who buy solar systems. Homeowners who install solar in 2020 were eligible for a 26% tax credit. If you install your solar system that costs $10,000, you would receive a $2,600 credit against your tax liability. The credit was set to a lower 22% for systems installed in 2021. It was set to expire in 2022. But Congress stepped in and included an extension of this tax credit as part of the federal budget bill. What this means for prospective solar owners, if you buy a solar system in this year, 2021 or 2022, you will still be able to take advantage of the tax credit at 26%. If you go solar in 2023, you will also be eligible for the 22% tax credit. The credit expires in 2023. So I'm very meticulous on how I'm reading this article to our listening audience this morning, because this is really a pocketbook issue, ladies and gentlemen. This makes a big, big difference for those who are interested in going solar. Solar supporters can do next. Tax credits are only one way to help more Americans go solar. Congress needs to do more. Congress should set a goal of creating 30 million new solar homes, one in four U.S. households. This will help American families save money, create jobs, fight climate change, and address energy injustices. So, all in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen, you will be able to find this particular article under our news and events tab. And I thought it was very, very fitting for me to lead the show off today, being that we're in a brand new year and people need to have this kind of information, because we are talking truly about a pocketbook issue when we're talking about being able to take advantage of the investment tax credit Congress has provided the solar industry. And some of these credits are applicable to other industries, and those industries that it is not applicable to, of course, they have a problem with it. So anything going to benefit the masses, you can believe somebody's going to have a problem with it if it cuts into their market share when it comes to the consumer who I'm speaking to, me as well as you as it relates to cutting your cost of electricity and your utility costs back. So I felt that that was something that we really, really needed to, in fact, focus on early in the show. And we have, as we said, set out and accomplished that feat. Now, if you have any questions concerning any of the information that I just provided for you, once again, you can give us a call at 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And remember, when you do call, which I should have mentioned when I gave out the number in the first place, you have to press 1 on your phone pad because you will be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into our living room so we can sit down and have a conversation about these issues that we're going to be sharing with you, and this information we'll be sharing with you this morning. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. As I've indicated to you, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember, once again, to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, I was looking around and doing a little research, and I looked at an article that I found quite interesting for those who live in the Lone Star State. And it's in that this article is speaking to the fact that in Texas, Tesla could be just the start of something big. Now, this particular article is been authored by Clara Offert, and it was published on 1-6-2021, Advanced Energy Perspectives. And in this article, you have a Governor Abbott speaking to everything's bigger in Texas, and that includes Tesla. Tesla will be number one in energy, including clean energy. And this is a statement that's been made by the governor of Texas. Over the summer, headlines proclaimed that news that Tesla, global leader in electric vehicles, EVs, has decided to locate its next U.S. factory in Austin, Texas. Recently, Tesla famed founder Elon Musk even announced that he would be moving to Texas himself. None of this should come as a surprise. Texas has long been a leader in energy of all sorts, including advanced energy technologies like wind and solar. So it's only natural to add EVs to the mix. Everything's bigger in Texas, and that includes Tesla, says Governor Greg Abbott in a video interview posted to Twitter. Now, you'll actually be able to do what? Listen to that video.
Just had a great conversation about the future of clean energy and American energy independence and how Tesla is moving in to Texas. Governor Abbott, why is this issue so important to you, and why is Tesla moving here?
Well, everything's bigger in Texas, and that includes Tesla. Tesla is moving in here because of the free market principles that allow it to come here and be an innovator here without government dictates. We strongly support the individual initiatives that Elon Musk is working on, and we know that he knows better than government does about what needs to be achieved to make sure that they are manufacturing vehicles, batteries, et cetera, that will promote a clean environment, that will ensure that Texas will remain the international leader in energy, whether it be solar, electric vehicles, wind, or oil and gas. Texas will be number one in energy, including clean energy.
And for climate activists want action, and we need to be focused on that action. The action is happening here in Texas because the market is ripe for it, and because Elon Musk and Tesla know that this is the place to be if they want to come up with the technologies to save our future. So thank you, Governor Abbott, for your leadership, and to the state of Texas. We've seen a lot of amazing initiatives in this state, and I truly believe that this state can be the future of energy and environmental innovation.
Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, only you will hear the governor of Texas on this platform speaking to the African-American community about what's coming to Texas. The whole premise of this is what's in it for the African-American community as Tesla moves his operations to Texas, because there has been some major, major issues with Tesla as it relates to racism in its manufacturing factories. So only on this platform do we talk about that issue in the solar industry. The solar industry is one of the most vehement racist industries in the United States of America, but it's a growth industry. And this industry did not take off until Katrina hit New Orleans. And in 2007, an African-American by the name of Van Jones, who is an attorney and a noted journalist, an MSNBC commentator who started an organization called Green for All, and he has published several books, who was a part of Obama's original group or cabinet on renewable energy in his first term, but many other Republicans put a lot of pressure on President Obama, and Van Jones was forced out. It did not take away what this brilliant brother did, because he opted something called the Green Jobs Act. And until an industry is codified by Congress, it can't grow. And that was done in 2007 under the Bush administration. And because of that, when Obama was elected, as we went to the polls in untold numbers, in 2008, the African-American vote, who put him over the top twice, resulted into legislation of $500 million. Each state in the United States and the District of Columbia received $10 million for workforce development training. The question is, why didn't that money reach our communities to train our young people? And as you look at what the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative brings you every week, you know I am the president of that of this organization, which is a co-op business cooperative, as well as president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, a organization that has just recently been formed to address a lot of these disparities, congressional hearing. Now, many of you who join us on a regular basis know that we are not one who talk the talk, but we do more by walking the walk. And as I just prepared for you and let you hear Governor Abbott, we're going to continue on looking at everything Tesla is moving here, because of the free market principles that allow it to come here and be an innovator without government dictates, Texas will be the number one energy, including clean energy, by welcoming Tesla. Texas has earned a place at the forefront of the forthcoming electric transportation revolution. And a new analysis shows Tesla could be just the start. This electric transportation, ET revolution, is coming due to its intrinsic benefits with EV, which they will provide to consumers, including proven cost savings over the electric vehicles' lifetime and better performance, making these vehicles an attractive option for more drivers. Traditionally, meaning consumers have faced either sticker shock or frustration with the lack of available models, but as EVs have become more affordable due to lower battery prices, battery costs have dropped nearly 90% in the last decade, from $1,100 per kilowatt hour in 2010 to $137 in 2020. And more models have arrived to showrooms, with announcing and arranging from the Jaguar JX electric to the Ford 150 electric. Consumers are starting to make the switch. Just Texas passenger EVs, including battery electric vehicles, BVEs, and plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, PHEVs, more than double from the year 2017 to 2018, when EV sales surpassed 11,700 units. As not only consumers, but municipalities, public school districts, and private sector companies turn to EVs as fleet vehicles, there will be opportunities for new companies and new workers to join the automation industry. A new study released by the Texas Advanced Energy Business Alliance assesses that businesses and employment potential from the supply chain for electric vehicles in Texas. This study, prepared by the BW Research and Partnership, found that Texas will be positioned to benefit from the growth of could give the state's economy a serious boost. Already in 2019, the ET sector contributed nearly $690 million to Texas gross state product, GSP, gross national product for the state. So GSP. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is some serious, what we would call cheddar. Guided missiles and space vehicle manufacturing sector. The analysis finds that over 1,200 companies employed more than 7,100 workers in the ET-related business spread across 203 Texas counties. Texas counties' ET jobs are expected to nearly double to upwards to 13,000 workers by 2024, including those in the Tesla factory currently under construction outside of Austin. Other companies involved in ETs have already taken root in the state. Perbuilt, the American truck manufacturers, began the development of a zero-emissions electric truck in 2016 and now manufactures their trucks for a variety of usage, in Denton manufacturers' facilities. The company has over 1,000 assembly specialists and a team of engineers building pre-built trucks just south of Dallas. Orange EV's Missouri-based electric truck company has plans to expand both footprints in Texas. The company hopes to have 25 to 35 electric trucks at shipping yards and terminals in the state by the end of 2021, expanding the employee base in the state as well. Outside of the expected boost in employment from the Tesla factory and other workers already involved in the space, the Lone Star State has a strong industrial and workforce base in the segment past is poised to grow with more than 5,000 companies and more than 400,000 Texans total are currently part of the industry that could really jump into growing the ET supply chain. To capitalize one ET startup, Texas to work, Texas needs to be able to place their consumer feel their consumers comfortable by buying EVs and companies out of towners like Tesla, but also homegrown Texas companies that might join the growing industry feel confident in investing. What would that mean? There's one thing not to do. The BHB 427 file by the state representative Ken King in November would slap an extra registration fee of $200, an additional renewable fee annually on Texas EV owners. This would be far more costly than EV owners than gas tax that they would avoid. Now, this is the battle. Ladies and gentlemen, this same situation took place in the state of Georgia. And I know this to be a fact because my brother-in-law, my wife's sister, who's an attorney, Miss Gail Baylor, and Orlando Baylor, who live in Stone Mountain. I had Orlando on this show because he is an owner of a Nissan Leaf that he bought in the second of what we call, they're called second markets, are referred to very commonly as a used vehicle. And in the electric vehicle market, the used vehicles, after they are traded in, their prices drop tremendously. So it was in speaking with Orlando when he had to replace the battery in it, but he just said it just made business sense for him to use that electric vehicle driving forth back and forth to work. And he's an engineer, and he lives in Georgia. And we had this discussion about the fact that Georgia had jumped number two behind the state of California in vehicle orders for Tesla vehicles because you put $1,000 down and you got in a waiting line because they didn't have the cars coming off the assembly line at that time. And because the oil lobbyists went into Athens and with deep pockets, you know, we have the best government money can buy on the federal and state levels. They, in fact, took away the incentives and put a $200 surcharge, tax surcharge on EV owners just for owning the vehicle. So this is not new, ladies and gentlemen. This is a replica of what took place in the state of Georgia. And as we know, the African-American community population base wise, it's been moving south for the last 30 years. This is why Georgia was able to be flipped with the dedicated work of Stacey Abrams registering over, I forgot the actual number of new voters in the state of Georgia, but this is going on throughout southern states. We, as African Americans, in terms of the largest African American population base, still reside in this country, and they're called restricted markets. They're called regulated markets. That means that the oil and gas lobby has a strangle over the state legislature. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious, 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 serious. We're talking about trillion-dollar industries, and all of your billionaires play in this arena. Now, there's a very interesting documentary that was produced by Jonathan Scott called The Power Trip, and it was previewed on PBS back in December. We have on our website, if you go to our news and events tab, look at our December archives, click on it, you can scroll down and you will be able to hear that trailer to that documentary, and it addresses many of the things that I'm speaking to now. This is very, very, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. When we talk about this fast-growing industry, the question becomes, once again, where is the green economic development deal for Black America? Now, we're going to look on at this legislation fee of $200 and the additional renewable energy and annually on Texas EV owners. This would be far more costly to EV owners than gas tax that would avoid, which the fees are ostensibly intended to compensate for, and would be a hobble a market just starting to grow. A recent survey, current EV owners concluded that a $100 annual registration fee on EVs would reduce sales by over 10%. A better approach would be free formula that takes into account the greater efficiency of EVs, and it's more comparable to what drivers of these vehicles would be charged if they paid state gas taxes. Other legislative and regulatory actions would signal to the rest of the United States that the Lone Star State is open to EV business. Examples would be ensuring a continued funding for the program, such as the Texas Emissions Reduction Plan, TERP program, which provides financial incentives to purchase of EVs, and extending charter 313 tax incentives that help bring manufacturing and other economic development projects to Texas. And on the regulatory front, the Public Utility Commission of Texas was included in the biannual report to the legislature for a recommendation that the legislature clarify the EV charging stations is not an electric utility or retail electric provider, such as clarification to reduce the risk of inappropriate and unnecessary regulations impeding the growth of EV charging companies. By pursuing that and other pro-growth EV policies, the Lone Star can tap the growth of demand of the ETs for Texas size boost their economy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the politics that's going to play out in every state of the union. That's why I took the time to look at this specific article and bring it to your ears so you'll be aware of what is going on in this industry. We as African Americans in this country have completely been basically by design and the lack of effective public policy demanding a share of this renewable energy investment by the Biden administration. The National Association of Blacks and Solar is calling for the Biden administration to invest 35% of the $1.7 trillion to help with startups of new African-American solar installation design, workforce development training companies in this industry. We cannot allow that our young people not be able to be prepared for this changing paradigm in the transportation industry in this country. And that's what we're addressing, and that's what we're talking about. And I don't think nobody else is talking about these issues on Black Talk Radio formats in this country. And if we don't talk about it, and if we don't expose our communities and engage our communities in these conversations, we will still be ignorant of what is really going on and what really matters. So, you know, if you join us on a regular basis, this show, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America, we feel that we're on the cutting edge of providing this dissemination of information to African-American communities around this country. So we're going to take a slight pause for the calls, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, I can choose, sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your
singing. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we always have to remind our listeners that this show and its slogan, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar design, installation, and workforce development companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of our young Black men and women, African-American men and women around this country, locally and nationally. Also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, I want to take a little time, ladies and gentlemen, and sort of discuss with you what we're talking about when we're talking about the economic impacts of climate change. I was able on this past weekend to catch an interesting segment on the Weather Channel. And this show, the show host is an African-American gentleman by the name of Mr. Paul Goodloe, who was doing a piece. It was called Recharge, and it looked at the year 2020, and that we had 22 national disasters, weather disasters, ranging from wildfires to floods to hurricanes, tornadoes, the whole nine, with a cost of $22 billion. Let me repeat myself. On the Weather Channel this past weekend, there was a segment which was done by Mr. Paul Goodloe, an African-American. I don't know the correct term for their technical term for what he does. He's not just a weather reporter, but he has a scientific background in studying weather. So those of you out there, you know what I'm trying to say and what I mean. And he hosts this show called Recharge, which airs on the Weather Channel. It's a Weather Channel. If you got cable, you know it's a national channel, and they do have segments on there and shows. And this particular show talked about 2020 and the number of national disasters, major disasters, were 22, with a cost to the U.S. economy of $20 billion. This is what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of addressing the issue of climate change. Now, as I shared with you in talking with you about the role that I play by serving as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, this is a recent that I wrote. Black America, our future is now in the renewable energy industry. We refuse to be regulated to simply a consumer class in this new renewable energy green market economy. The NABS, which stands for the National Association of Blacks in Solar, will also be at the forefront advocating and actively engaging and seeking out public and private funding to make this platform become a reality. Now, the platform that you're listening to right now, Solar Now and the Future, which we are broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio, over the World Wide Web. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, and Link is the platform that I'm speaking of. Okay? A reality. By educating the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs, such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact. By purchasing a 9-minute time slot, one of our nationally syndicated black-owned radio networks, the Urban One Network, which is owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes, their flag station is here in Washington, D.C. We know it as WOL 1450 AM. And 95.9 AM on the FM dial, which we are attempting to do. Also, we will work with the NABS membership and stakeholders on public policy issues to accomplish the following: to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities. Once again, to utilize our black American-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of black men and women locally and nationally. To encourage the development of mentorship-owned African-American solar, to develop mentorship-owned solar companies that will fully integrate black African-Americans into the renewable energy industry, to structure a national system of delivery of cost savings for solar power to African-American-owned businesses, our homes, our churches, our schools, our nonprofits, and other African-American-owned facilities. We will create a solar jobs training network throughout the country in African-American communities to establish a legal division that will fight for solar policy change for African-American municipal-run counties and communities, to establish a coalition of working with existing African-American organizations across America for the purpose of securing congressional support, assuring existing solar industry associations, and pursuing many other activities that will support our efforts. Okay? And as I indicated, a recent press release by the Biden campaign entitled "The Biden's Plan to Build a Modern Sustainable Infrastructure and an Equitable Clean Energy Future." And this was back, this particular press release was put in, was written actually back in September of last year before the election. Okay? It went on to indicate if Biden was elected in November, which he was, because we made it happen, his administration will make a $1.7 trillion accelerated investment with the plan to deploy these resources over the first 4 years, setting us on an irreversible course to meet ambitious climate progress that the scientists demands, along with the following developments: the cost of shifting the U.S. grid from 100% renewable energy over the next 10 years is estimated to cost $4.5 trillion, according to a new Wood Mackenzie analysis. And that information, ladies and gentlemen, is also available on our website. You can go to our news and events tab. You can click on the NASB membership opportunity link. There is a link that talks about the National Association of Blacks in Solar 2020 Green Economic Development Plan for Black America. Click on that blue link and you will be able to find this information that I am sharing with you now. It also went on to say Amazon launches a U.S. $2 billion climate pledge fund because they were having serious problems with their reputation based on employees filing racial discrimination cases. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the issue of racism and institutional racism permeates every aspect of American society. This is also one. All right? It also talks about they had signed a contract agreement with a company based here in Washington, D.C., which was co-founded by Mr. George Austin, who is an African-American who has now moved on, but the company is called Solar Systems, which This is with Microsoft working together on a portfolio for 500 megawatts of U.S. solar projects and investment in communities in the front line of climate change. And that's the code word for black communities, ladies and gentlemen. And what they're supposed to be doing is buying energy from projects developed by African-American companies and on black farmlands and private landowners who want to build large-scale solar power plants. Well, I can truly speak to the fact, unless they can make commitments to become off-takers, that means that they're going to buy that energy from our developers and companies, they ain't going to happen in what we call regulated markets in the South. And this is where public policy comes to play in once again. And I truly know that I try to make that plain here on this show, because one of my business associates who is working with a group out of my home state of South Carolina has already approached this organization to see if they would become an off-taker for their project, and they were told that they weren't interested in looking at the state of South Carolina because it's a regulated market. It is applicable throughout the Southern. They are all regulated markets. This is the issues that we need our Congressional Black Caucus to address, and we need to bring that to the floor of Congress. Now, this is based in racist policy, economic policy. That's what it's based in, ladies and gentlemen, because they want to keep us as consumers, not producers of anything in this country. So only here on this show are you going to get this information. Microsoft Initiative, a $1 billion climate along with solar systems. Still talking about the same agreement. In Chicago, the city of Chicago launches a $200 billion RFP to power the city's facilities with renewable energy. So this is a contract by the city government in Chicago. The issue is how many African-American companies actually put in a proposal on this RFP. I don't know. So I can't say there are not any, but I can tell you it can't be but a few, because out of 9,000 solar installation and design companies and workforce development training programs in this country, we have less than 30 African-American companies. So I don't know that many. I know a few. I won't put those companies' businesses in the street over this public format, but I do know one or two companies that are based here out of Washington, D.C., that have put their name and proposals for to try to become one of those in this RFP offering. New York State has a $701 million program for EV charging infrastructure. It's an article called By the Numbers. You can also find that under our News and Events tab. DCSEU, DC Ward 7 and 8, Solar Initiative, which is a program called the Solar for All program, which is being paid for. If you look at the fees that are attached to your gas, water, and electric bill, if you are a resident of the District of Columbia, you need to be calling DOEE or one of the grantees that has been awarded a grant, because they submitted a proposal and became one of the grantees to install PV systems on low and moderate income residents' rooftops in the District of Columbia. You also need to be calling Bowser, asking her for some money for rooftop repair, because that has been one of the major impediments to this program, as well as outreach and community education to the African-American community, even about the program. Over here in Prince George's County, right outside of the District of Columbia, the Department of Energy and Sustainability, which is run by Mrs. Erica Betterman, it is a disgrace. And I'm saying that publicly, because when you call and try to get information on their low and moderate income programs, nobody answers the phone. They have maps in here that says if you live in these tracts. I went to Capitol Hill last year because they were talking about, it was called the Neighborhood Initiative Program, and if you didn't live on certain zip codes, you couldn't apply, and I raised holy hell because I and my wife, we are both semi-retired, but we still have to work every day to stay alive in the pressure cooker, which is called the DMV market area. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, when you're getting ready to retire here, unless you have made substantial income, if you raise kids in this market and you get older, the little money you get from Social Security is not enough to keep things going. So you have to stay active. Okay? This, ladies and gentlemen, as well as Wells Fargo commitment through 2030 with at least 50% going toward renewable energy, they are talking about making an investment in just to deal with their banks around the country. They have a commitment. It was $5 million towards renewable energy for clean energy projects, to seed funding to create tribal solar accelerator fund for nonprofits with through grid alternatives, solar projects recommendations. They're talking about investing somewhere near $20 billion, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to be going to Wells Fargo today and speaking with my banker, because that's where I hold my business accounts are. But when you get to talking to them about these programs, they have no knowledge at the local, your local banks. You got to contact their corporate folk, and they are very, very leery about even talking about these commitments that they have made. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have been following this show for today, you know that this, what I am talking about, is something that makes a difference. It matters. But there were several other projects, topics that we wanted to cover and we didn't get to. One was called Projects and Money. The other topic is called the Top Energy Policy Trends for 2020 and how they can inform you of your 2021 energy plans. You will be able to find those links under our news and events blog on our website. And we want to always let our community know, the African-American community know, we hope that we have brought you news that you can definitely use as we conclude another episode of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And until next week, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us here. And once again, we say go in peace as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
I feel someone singing, I can just sing it. I feel someone singing, why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand, use it. Rely on a master plan and change it.